are no longer slaves to sin. That is the beautiful outflow of the gospel. Hey, thanks for joining us here at the church at Suncoast. Take your Bibles and let's get into God's Word. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. What works well in the kingdom of men normally doesn't work well in the kingdom of God. One look at the Sermon on the Mount, a close study of it, will tell you that exactly. The kingdom of men, it's blessed are the strong, blessed are the aggressive, blessed are those who get their piece of the pie. The Sermon on the Mount is blessed are the meek and blessed are those who are pure in heart. And so the things in the kingdom of men don't work well in the kingdom of God. One of those things is a thing called pragmatism. You may be a pragmatist and you don't even know it out there today. Let me tell you what it is, and you may identify yourself as a pragmatist. A pragmatist looks at life on practical terms. They ask the question about what works in a given situation. What's the answer in practical terms? They don't worry about the abstract or the theories of a thing. And by the way, pragmatism works really well within a family. It works really well within a business, politics. Let's cut all the red tape and let's just make changes that work. How many of y'all think you're pragmatists out there? You don't care about news. You just want to know what works in the given. We're going to look at two groups that were approached religion in a pragmatic way. That's still happening today. And when we identify these two groups, you'll identify and see very clearly why that's not the kingdom of God. And that's not how spiritual life works. The two groups are the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And we see them down in chapter 16. The warning in verse 6. We're going to go back and look into the text, but I just want to get you the framework here. In chapter 16, verse 6, and Jesus said, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They misinterpreted that. You'll see that in a minute. But down in verse 12, they finally got the message. And at the end, they realized that he was warning them about the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We're going to examine what those are this morning, detail the list of them, and see how they apply in the present day to, unfortunately, pragmatic ways of doing ministry that aren't the kingdom of God or the ways that Jesus left us. So, let's get into the story in verse 5. Now, when the disciples reached the other side, that would be the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they had forgotten bread. They had forgotten to bring any bread. What is it about men and memory? What is it about us remembering stuff? Yeah, I have a rule in my home that when Karen gets over three things on a list to go to Publix or Winn-Dixie, we have to write it down. That's it. Three's my limit. And even at three, I'll show up at the door of Winn-Dixie and I'll have a blank. I don't know what it is about going across that threshold of the supermarket. You walk in and the air hits you and you're like, you're just gone. Your mind goes blank. The only comforting thing is there's usually three or four other guys at the front of the store with the same blank look. So what do we do as men? We wander up and down the aisles looking to throw just about anything in the cart. And that's why we come back with 12 things when you asked us for four things. And probably we missed one or two of those things. It can be rightly argued that if there was a woman disciple in the boat, they'd have had bread. Amen? Here these guys are, this is common, they forgot bread. Now, this is what's on their mind. Whatever is on your mind is what you hear people say many times, isn't it? When you're dominated with a thought, when you're dominated with something, and somebody says something, you interpret it in the framework of what you're thinking on. I was riding a bike with Benny the other day, and I had occasion to quote Will Rogers. I said, Benny, there was a guy who lived years ago. His name was Will Rogers, and he said this. He said, I never met a man I didn't like. Benny said, what about women? Now, that's an old joke, but he didn't mean it as a joke. He was serious because his framework is he has a little sister, and I know he loves her, but you know how little sisters are with bigger brothers. Drive you nuts. So that's his framework. So when I said that, that was when these men hear the statement of Jesus, the framework is their stomach is empty. They didn't bring any bread. Maybe they're blaming each other. Maybe they're trying to figure out who was supposed to bring it, but no one did. So when he says in verse 6, Jesus said to them, watch, keep your eye out, and then when you see it, run, beware. Get away from the leaven. And again, that word leaven clicks their mind on the bread. There it is. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 7, and they began discussing it among themselves, saying, now notice they didn't discuss it with Jesus. They're mumbling and they're whispering and they're in a boat. You know, you got 12, 13 guys in a boat and the boat's not that big. And so they have this inter-discussion, what does he mean? What does he mean? I always find that humorous. Many times we hear the boss say something and the co-workers get around, what do you think he means? What do you think? Why don't we just go ask the boss? What do you mean by that? But they don't do that. They have this inter-discussion about, he's saying it because we don't have any bread. Now the stakes are raised in the no bringing the bread thing. Now the Lord is hungry and we don't have anything to feed him and you know, the stakes are raised right there. We brought no bread. Jesus, of course, hears this in verse 8 and says, aware of this, he said, before we get into that, let's back up and talk about the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. This is important to note. I don't know if this is the main teaching of the text because we're going to get into that, but I don't want to gloss over this and not ask these questions about what is. Well, first of all, we know that it's the doctrine, the King James says, or the teaching of the Pharisees and scribes. But he doesn't say beware and run from the teachings or doctrines. He describes them in a very specific way as leaven. Now, any Bible student will tell you that leaven in the Bible is always reflective of that which is evil. Not because leaven in bread is bad. We want that. But leaven in the Old Testament economy, in the mind of a Jew, is that which putrefies, that which raises up. There's an idea of pride, and there's the idea of the rottenness of leaven. Again, it's a yeast that raises the bread, and we want it. By the way, have you ever drank pure yeast? Pretty nasty stuff. Put a little warm water with that granular yeast. Can't get it too hot to kill it, but that warm water, it starts stinking. And I recommend don't dip your finger in and try it. It's nasty stuff. So this evil, it's the evil of the teaching and doctrine of these two groups. Well, what do we know about these two groups? Well, first of all, they were diametrically opposed to one another. They both were religious groups, but they came at it from two different specific angles. Made myself a list so I wouldn't forget anything on the list. First of all, they both used religion for their own specific benefit. That's a warning right there. Christianity and ministry must never be used to benefit any of us in ministry. We must not look at it that way. But that's how both of them looked at it, in two specific ways. First of all, the Sadducees were basically a political group that used religion to keep their political position of power and wealth. So they used the Jewish religion to pad their pockets, to live in nice places, to fly fancy jets, to be involved in, and the only reason they cared about politics is because they wanted to please Rome to keep their position. They were those who ran the temple precinct in Jerusalem. So they're involved in big church operation in a very glitzy way. You could tell a Sadducee a mile away by their fine robes and their wonderful outfits. They were ultra-liberal in their theology. If you wanted to get away with a lot of stuff, you followed the Sadducees and listened to them very carefully. I'll give you one example. If you weren't getting along with your wife and you wanted to divorce her, you probably went to a rabbi who was a Sadducee or from that vein of thought. Because for almost any reason, including burning the toast, you could send her away. But the rabbis on the other side, you, other than adultery, you were stuck. So they were the ultra-liberal theologian, those who don't believe in the literal Word of God, those who take the Word of God and redesign it in our day to allow sin to be lived out and played out. You're not in one of those churches of ultra-liberal fashion. They take the Word of God and they relegate it to the back scenes. They make the literal stories of Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah in the belly of the whale as fictional stories with lessons that are fluff. Anything goes. They use Scripture when it suits them. Pharisees, what were the Pharisees? They were the ultra-conservatives. They were the Billy Bibles of the first century who had 1,000 verses for everything that came along, yet they had no life and mystery in them. They could quote the Old Testament backward and forward, and they use religion in a much, much different way than the Sadducees. Now, you can track these things in your own mind of what we see today in the church. But the Pharisees use religion to promote their own social standing within the community. Jesus said they loved greetings in the marketplace. They loved to hear rabbi. Rabbi, elder, pastor. Nothing wrong with those terms, but they loved to hear them. They loved the social construct that they were powerful men. And if you wanted to know anything from God, you had to get it from a Pharisee. Ultra conservative in their thinking, they had a verse for every situation. Debate these guys today and they'll drive you nuts. I mean, they can just tear apart the passage, but they have no mystery or life in them. Jesus said to him this, "Search the Scriptures," he told the Pharisees, "for in them you think you have eternal life." Study your Bible. Memorize all the verses. If you think Christianity is in there, Jesus said no. He said, "They are they which speak of me." The Bible, always to be referred to, always to be studied, always to be followed, was meant as a simple diving board into the presence of the mystery of a fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ that carries you through every moment of your existence. The Bible was not meant to be worshiped as some do today. Don't hear me wrong, but it is as if you jumped off the diving board and these Pharisees grab the diving board, refusing to launch into the beautiful, fresh water of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Both groups used religion. The Sadducees said this, "How do I best serve myself in this life, right now, in religion? What gets me the most? What has Christianity done for me? Is it prospering me? Is it healing me? Is it making me likable and friends?" And see the approach? It's a Sadducee approach. The Pharisees said this, "How can I best control people with my own power placed over them?" You know, religious leaders and Christian ministry leaders were never meant to control anyone. The Holy Spirit controls all of us. But in these type churches, in this type mentality, guilt and manipulation are used to keep you under my thumb or under their thumb. Jesus said of these groups, "Watch, keep your eyes open, And beware, run from that kind of Christianity. How many verses have you been obedient to this week as a mentality of that? I recently heard a man say that. I mentioned it to Larry. Larry said, I'd cut my throat if I had to live like that. Those verses are meant to get us in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's all Jesus, that's what he was talking about. That was what was on his mind going across the lake versus what I was on their mind coming back. Look at verse 8. But Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no toilet paper? Why is that the dominating theme that I can't get toilet paper? In essence, Jesus is saying to them, don't you know who's in the boat with you? You've forgotten, haven't you? I mean, there's a visual fact of what he's going to share in just a few minutes, but how little gets us off the keel, doesn't it? O ye of little fact, why do you discuss among the fact that you have no bread? Verse 9, do you not perceive? Do you not remember? In other words, he says, you forgot to bring bread. What you really forgot was me. That's what you forgot. You forgot I'm in the boat with you. You forgot what I had just recently done. Believer, fellow believer, don't forget that. A while back, you were outside. If you know Christ today, you were outside the family of God. You were lost in your sin. You didn't even know it. God woke you up, showed you that your sin was paid for. You called on the Lord. If you're saved, you called on him. He washed you clean of all of your sins for all eternity. He put your feet on a solid rock and were worried about toilet paper. He can produce. I got to stay off of that. Do you not remember the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets did you gather up? Don't you remember holding those baskets and seeing that bread? And I bet it was good bread, too. I don't care how good Panera bread does it. When Jesus gives you a loaf in a basket of bread, I'd have just sat down and ate the whole thing right there. And I was a Navy cook. I was a night baker for a while. And to make friends with the guys down in the hole, which is down in the bottom, which were rough guys. To show you how rough those guys in the hole were, Mike Roddy was a guy. He was a hall tech. Anyway, to make friends with the guys down in the hole, I would send a whole loaf of homemade bread and a pound of butter every night down in the hole. That's a pragmatist at work, is it not? I'm patting myself so they leave me alone. This bread was hot and fresh, didn't even need butter, and there they stood, basket in hand. Have you forgotten what the Lord has done for you all of your lives? Have you forgot when he healed you? Have you forgotten when he financially blessed you at a time when you so desperately need it, you didn't know how to pay the bills? Have you forgotten that closeness and sweetness of fellowship at the funeral of a loved one or family member when the Lord comforted you? Have we forgotten at the mighty works of God in all of our lives? The God who has brought us this far is not going to drop us in the lurches now. I'll say it one more time, and I promise this is it. When we get to heaven, there'll be a billion rolls of toilet paper all over. Now we won't need it then, but we'll still have it. I'll leave it alone. We work that thing to death. Did you forget? Verse 10. Don't you remember the other story or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I do not speak about bread? And then he says it again. I love this because he doesn't, again, specifically tell them. They still have to work it through in their mind. And they get it. He gives them just enough. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching, the doctrine of these two specific. Give you a couple things to think about as you close your Bible. Number one, our focus on bread, our focus on this world, which look, I'm an avowed, I'm a pragmatist big time, man. I'm looking for the, if I've got 10 minutes, I don't sit around and look out the window. I go do something for 10 minutes. That kind of mentality, though, in the spiritual realm will kill you, okay? It actually blinds us to the bread of life that's to be our substance. What if we took 30 minutes and just got in a quiet place and just meditated on the Lord? The pragmatist in me says, oh, it's the time, man. Think of the things you could be doing in that 30 minutes. And I'm not talking about walking around all day. You get in a lot of trouble for that. Just walking around the day, just twiddling away and twiddling your mind. But don't let the cares of this world and the lack of this or that or the struggles or the present struggles. We of all people in all the world should be the steadiest during a time like this. Our sandcastles are not in this world. Our castle is in glory. Don't let this shake you. I mean, can you see God up in heaven? Whoa, I didn't know that was coming. He knows. Is this the beginning of the end times? The beginning of the end times happened 2,000 years ago when the day of Pentecost came. That's when the end times came, began. Yeah, we're living closer and closer, man. You just see all this. It's like birth pains of a woman. She's pregnant. She's fixing to give birth. This world is going to give birth to a new world order where Christ returns with his church. We are close. Now, whether this present situation had plays into it, I think it does. I don't know it does. But our hearts ought to be steady. You ever watch a movie? There's some movies that I could watch over and over and over again. You got them, don't you? You got a list of about 10 movies. I don't care. I don't care how many times they come on. You put Jason Bourne on the TV, you got me for the next 2 hours. That is the coolest dude, man. Fight, I mean, tear it up. I can watch Jason Bourne. I can watch all the movies. My son-in-law got me the trilogy, the three or four all together. I go over and over again. I don't care if I know he's going to whoop up on that guy. I just want to see him do it again and again. Man, nothing kills Jason Bourne. We know how this thing's going to play out. Not specifically. Jesus is coming for his church. We're going to get raptured out of this mess. We're going to spend 7 years up there with the awards banquet and all this. And then we're coming back to rule and reign on this earth. You ever stop and think about that? He is going to rule from Jerusalem. And in this world, there'll be peace and justice and prosperity. Everybody's going to have a chicken in their pot. Do you know who's going to enact the justice? Do you know who's going to enact the healing? Do you know who is going to help rule and reign with him? Us. And we're worried about toilet paper. I'll be in charge of one or two cities. Karen will probably be in charge of 30. Yeah. He told us that. Faithful in a little, I'll make you faithful over so many cities. We're going to come back in our spiritual bodies. We will have the ministry of Christ through us to the nations. We will touch people and they will be healed. We will bless people all over the world. We will enact justice among people when sin happens. We are kings and queens of heaven. But when we focus on this world and our present struggle, we get blinded to the bread of life. Number two, our obsession with our dilemmas. Our obsession with our dilemmas causes us to forget about his supply. Let me talk to you about that word obsession. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand. All right, in your mind, raise your hand. How many of y'all tend to be obsessive people? See, you had to raise your hand because you're an obsessive person. I just had to do it. We tend to look at obsession as bad, and it can be bad. But do you know that we were created for obsession? We, all of us, were created to be obsessive people. Totally focused on something, we just can't take our mind off of it. Have I turned that light off? I got to go back 4 times to make sure the light was off. You know, the pencil's out of place. We were created to obsess over our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We were all created for the obsession of Jesus Christ. And in that divine, glorious obsession, He just meets our needs and supplies all of it. But when we focus on the dilemma, we forget about all he has done in the past and all he wants to do now. He's still going to do it because God is good. But we lose traction and we lose time. Do I have a third principle or is that it? That's it. Well, that's all I got to say on that matter. That's all I got to say. It is so good. Isn't it a good thing to hear the Word of God preached and to learn and grow and get our minds and hearts focused on Him? That is the goal of all of our lives, that constantly we're refreshed in the Scripture and we walk as people of God. So none of this. Let's do this. Lord Jesus, we pause and thank you for this moment of the boat cutting through the waters of the Sea of Galilee, the focus in the minds of the disciples because they had forgot a detail. And maybe they were hungry and the need was real. But more than the need for the bread, what they needed to remember is the one who was in the boat with them, who had in the past supplied tremendous need, and that he could in the future supply it again. Father, may we watch and beware of doctrines and teachings that do two different things. Lord, those who cause us to be focused on our own prosperity, wealth, excusing the Scripture in a liberal way to live any way we want. And may we reject the ultra-conservative focus on the Scripture in lieu of the one who it is to lead us to. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone here today who does not know the Savior, that they call on the name of the Lord to save them, even now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Church at Suncoast. We pray that the message was a blessing to you. If we can be of any help, don't hesitate to contact the church on our Facebook page or at suncoastjax.org. If you are in the listening area, we'd love to have you attend any of our services. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.